Welcome to Those Forking Fangirls, where we talk all things nerdy, books, TV, movies, pop culture, fandoms, and how they integrate into our adult lives. I'm Christine.
And I'm Natasha.
And today, we're catching up with a crap ton of book news, and we're taking some cues that we got from our patrons, but it's going to be a shorter episode. It's been a bit of a crazy week. So we're mainly like concentrating on news today because we have so much of it. It's going to be fun. We love our news segment. You can skip to the quote main discussion, but I think our main discussion today is Snap, Crackle, Pop Culture news.
Yeah. Lots of fun things that happened that we have to talk about.
Lots of stuff to talk about today. Natasha, what's first in the news today?
Oh, there's so many things. Okay, let's talk about Spider-Man, Brand New Day.
Oh my God.
Came out last weekend. Has everyone seen it?
I think a lot of people have, but not everyone yet.
Yeah, not everyone. Well, a lot of the world has seen it because they now hold the biggest domestic weekend box office opener of all times with $360 million, which surpassed Avengers Endgame. Endgame is still the biggest opener worldwide with $1.2 billion. Sorry. And then in the last 7 days, it has made $1.15 billion.
Wow.
Crazy.
That's insane. Good for Tom Holland.
Yeah.
Both the movies he's starring in are really killing it.
I saw a lot of articles. Well, first of all, one of the Sony heads was like, I guess movies aren't dead. Like, he made like a crack. A couple of people were talking about how Zendaya and Tom and Rob are bringing in like so much money this year in the box office.
They're in all the movies that are coming out this year. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't plan for them all to come out this year.
Nope.
They just got hired for work.
And then they come out.
And then they come out when they come out. So they're just having a really good year.
Mm-hmm. I think I even saw that the industry is nearing a $10 billion like overall for this year, which is, I think, like the highest
movie gross in a while.
Yeah. I think since like the Barbie Oppenheimer.
So today in Taylor Swift news, not much to report except that, you know, that dog we saw at their wedding in the photos, Travis's dog from Taylor for Christmas. So it's rumored now, like highly suspected, that it is a female dog and that its name is Wendy, which is very Taylor Swift. She makes a lot of Peter Pan and Wendy references.
Oh!
In her songs. I mean, Peter Pan did tend to correlate with Joe, but she was Wendy. In the coverage I saw, which was, you know, speculative, it's spelled W-E-N-D-Y, like Wendy. Peter Pan and Wendy. Like the fast food restaurant. But, you know, who knows? It has not been confirmed. It's just speculation, but it's cute to know. I didn't picture Travis with a girl dog.
It's a Samoyed, and I love that.
Yeah, he's a girl dad. Mm-hmm. I love that for him.
Okay, the only boy is Benjamin.
Oh. Yeah, I know, but like that's Taylor's cats,
now they're his cats too.
Now they're his cats, but you know, they've been hers for a long time.
Okay, today in heated rivalry news, the boys are filming again. Woo! Oh,
season two is well
season two
in filming, right?
Well, not really. So they got to Toronto last weekend, and Connor and Hudson have been walking around Toronto. They're just like chatting it up. Like they're just yapping away.
They're just hanging out.
They're just besties. Hanging out. I love it. I am trying really hard not to interact with the paparazzi photos. I do see them obviously come across my desk. But they have been, they're in Toronto and they're about to film. And I'm so excited like for the next 3 months. And it's nice to know that at some point they might be kissing.
They will be kissing.
Yes. Anyways, I'm really excited. They're supposed to be done filming. I think they're filming all of August, September, and October. Connor got nominated for an Emmy. He was nominated for his guest hosting for SNL.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting.
It's very exciting.
Wow.
So we won't know that until September, I feel like. The end of August, usually the Emmys happen.
The next thing I have in the news is that the poster, the official movie poster for The Love Hypothesis, has dropped. If you don't know, it's coming out September 23rd on Prime. And there is a book with a movie tie-in cover. It's a really good movie tie-in cover.
Yes.
Like, it's very reminiscent of the actual cover, which I love. And it's got, like, a drawn quality to it. So it's nice. And
it looks like it was like hand drawn or something.
Yeah, I mean the pictures of them look like it's them, but the rest of it looks hand drawn, which is mm-hmm. nice. Yeah, we're getting so close to the release now. We're a month and what, like 15, 17 days out?
Oh my gosh.
That's crazy. Yeah.
That is crazy. Okay, so there is an X-Men movie coming.
It's so crazy that there's X-Men movies coming. It feels like there's been so many X-Men movies in our lifetimes.
I know.
Like an endless amount.
Well, now that Disney officially owns X-Men again, they're bringing them back. This morning, actually, Kit Connor was cast as Cyclops.
Wow. Kit Connor's from Heartstopper. Yes. Anyone who doesn't know.
Yes. Do you know who Cyclops is, Christine?
Yes, I know. Did you hear me? I've seen many X-Men movies.
Just making sure.
It's Teddy from Westworld. It's James Marsden.
And then Samara Weaving was cast as Emma Frost.
Emma Frost. I don't know who that character is. Has she been in the other movies?
Yes, she was played by January Jones. This was back in the day.
Oh my god, at least she turned into diamonds in the sun.
Yes.
I don't remember her doing anything significant. Yeah, I mean, it would be nice to see if, well, hopefully Marvel does a good job, but it would be nice to see Marvel's rendition of the X-Men because we've seen it from Fox. Didn't Fox have X-Men?
Yes, Fox had X-Men.
Yeah. And then did someone else have it when they
rebooted
it?
No, they just rebooted it. They rebooted the X-Men, I think, when, like, Avengers was going on.
All right. So, Steven Kalin was officially casted for The Housemaid Secret, the second one, to the second Housemaid book.
Yes.
Movie adaptation. And Brittany Snow has been casted as, I think, the lead. I haven't read the book, but I got that impression when she posted about it.
Yes, I would like they're married, I'm assuming.
Interesting. I'm excited to see like what the second story will be like.
I know.
Because how is it not going to be the same as the first? Because they did allude to the fact that she's being abused. And did you see yesterday that it was officially confirmed that HBO is doing a documentary about the Gilmore Girls?
Oh, yeah. No, I saw Lauren Graham post about it.
Yeah, Lauren Graham and Amy Sherman-Palladino will be in it. So that's interesting. Like, I would rather have more Gilmore Girls.
Me too.
But I think they're afraid to make more Gilmore Girls because of how the seasons, what was that four episodes called? Seasons and a year? A season? Whatever the fuck it was called. It went over a little wonky because two of the episodes were silly.
Well, yeah. And if a year in a life. Thank you,
A year Nicole. In a life. Thank you, Nicole. Next! This is huge news and I was really excited about it. So, Deep End by Ali Hazelwood is coming to Netflix with Sean Levy, who directed Deadpool.
this is wild.
Yeah. and Alex Cooper's company are coming together to do this, and it's coming to Netflix. It's so exciting, like from all different angles.
Alex Cooper is in a lot now. Like, she's doing a lot of things with
again,
books.
I think she's been doing a lot of things behind the scenes for a while.
You're right.
And yeah, we're just hearing about them. They're all coming up. All of Allie Hazelwood's books are getting behind the scenes, getting made right now.
So there's obviously we have The Love Hypothesis coming in a month. There's mm-hmm. Love Theoretically. Mm-hmm. Is that Colleen?
Colleen Hoover's company. Yes.
And then Deep End.
And then we've got Deep End with Netflix and Sean Levy and Alex Cooper. So a lot. And I bet the others are all behind the scenes. But these ones are moving and grooving enough to be announced. Very exciting.
Very exciting.
What else do you have? I feel like I need a coffee.
Yeah, you are.
I'm moving so slow. All right. Next! It Happened One Summer by Tessa Bailey, starring Elena Gilbert and Tyler Hoechlin, has officially started filming. That's so exciting.
I forgot that they were in that.
Yeah, I'm just really excited. We just talked about this and you had also forgotten about Tyler Hoechlin. We had both forgot about it, but now I remember because we talked about it like a couple weeks ago. Tyler Hoechlin hasn't been on the screen in a while. I miss his face. Mm-hmm. That man has a beautiful face.
He really does.
All right. He used to be in Teen Wolf. For those of you who don't know, he played that guy, the alpha. What was his name?
I don't know. I would just call him Tyler Hoechlin.
I know. Me too. I was like,
Derek. Kyle.
Derek Hale. Derek. Derek Hale. Nice pull. Mm-hmm. Very exciting. I would assume that it's going to come out like next summer.
Yeah, probably.
And on that same kind of vibe, Beach Read just wrapped filming.
Woo!
Woo, 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 woo. So like all the movies are coming. All the adaptations.
They were like, you know what? The 90s rom-com is over. Now we're just going to adapt all of like...
It's not the over. Book.
I know.
It's just evolving.
That's what I'm saying. They're adapting the book rom-coms.
Because these book rom-coms are all written by authors who loved 90s rom-coms.
True.
That's where they came from. So this is the evolution of the 90s rom-com.
Written by women.
And we're fucking loving it. Eating it up. I'm pumped. There's a new... Oh my God. Did the new movie from Will Gluck come out? I got invited to a screening, but it was when we were at Comic-Con for the new Will Gluck movie. Is it called like... It's with Callum Turner.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the One Night.
One Night. I was going to say It Happened One Night, but like that can't be the name of it.
Yeah.
That's a silent film
one
from...
One Night, One Night Only?
The 20s or something. I don't know, but I got invited to a screening and one of the Haim sisters were there. Oh, and... Yeah. I'm sad I missed it because I love Will Gluck and I would have loved to meet a Haim sister. I wrote a lot of my See You at Twilight to their new album. We'll be talking about my birthday in the tea time today. So stay tuned for that or become a patron if you want to hear about it. I have the biggest socializing hangover ever from like nonstop back-to-back-to-back-to-back social events.
Tangled, the live action, has been filming up a storm in Spain, and there are so many videos from the set, and I feel like I am I'm already seeing a lot of the movie. Like, I've seen the costumes, and that's why I feel like I'm spoiled.
You've seen the movie. It's called Tangled. It came out in 2013.
I know.
Or 2009.
But the whole point of these stupid remakes is that, like the real-life stuff is going to be, you know, it's like that's like the stuff. Anyways, so I've seen the new costume. I fucking love the costume. It's stunning. They're running down the streets in Spain. Mother Gothel, Catherine Hahn is out and about with her costume. Don't love hers as much. And then also reportedly, this has not been confirmed because a lot of people are also speculating. The thing is, like, extras have said that, like, Katrina Balfe is playing Rapunzel's mother. But we don't know yet. I saw a video of, like, them, like, reuniting, and it didn't really look like Katrina Balfe, but I don't know if it was, like, a stand-in. It kind of looked like Mandy Moore. I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I just had a thought that I would really like to dress as Flynn Rider.
Oh.
He's so cool, and I love his messenger bag.
You're already talking about Halloween costumes in the group chat, so that's why my brain is thinking in this direction.
Christine, we were talking about Halloween, like, Disney, and, like, the we're not talking about the theme, but it was, like, Disney princesses, and Christine goes, what about Olaf?
Well, because my first thought was, like, I'd love to be Olaf.
My second thought is I would love to be Flynn Rider.
The next thing I have on the news here is that Barbie 2 is officially in the works. Greta Gerwig is doing the script. What? Margot and Ryan are set to return.
Okay, I didn't see this news. Is this for sure? Did you check your sources? Okay, yes. There is an article from Variety. It says that Barbie sequel stalls as David Zaslav won't approve bigger salaries for Ryan Gosling and Margot Robbie. It says, in a new report, the New York Times reveals that Warner Brothers Discovery CEO David Zaslav has balked at giving Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling rich deals with profit participation for the second film. Gosling, who is nominated for Best Supporting Actor for his role as Ken, is angling to raise his pay by $20 million.
Whoa.
Yeah, so the deal's not complete. So it says, notes that Gerwig and her husband and Barbie writer partner Noah Baumbach have an idea for the new movie but won't share the concept with the studio until the deals are complete.
I think they're going to complete it.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about them doing a second Barbie movie. I feel like it was great and we don't need another.
Well, I just don't think Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach would embark on a second movie if they didn't have a good idea.
I know, but also, like, money.
But yeah, but also, like, Greta Gerwig is, like, our first female auteur. She shouldn't make a second movie if she has a great idea and she's did a really good job with the first one. Also, men do this all the time.
I know. What I think a prequel would be a good, like, founding for Barbie World or something. That would be fun, Siobhan. Like, what, also, like, what has, Greta Gerwig hasn't come out with anything since Barbie, right?
No, she's been working on the Narnia series.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, we are, guess what, guys? We're going to Forks.
Oh, my God. we haven't talked about that in a while.
I know. We are going to Forks. We're so excited. It's September 12th through the 14th.
I think it's the 10th.
10th?
Yeah.
Through the 13th.
Yeah. Yeah.
We will be having a live recording in Forks, Washington of the podcast on Friday. Do I know that date? No.
It's at noon. I want to say it's Friday. I do want to say it's Friday.
It's Friday. No, they confirmed it's Friday.
And I think
noon.
Saturday is the author panel that I'm doing, and Friday is our podcast.
Let me just look at a calendar. Okay, so Friday, September 11th, we are doing our live recording of those Forking Fangirls in Forks, Washington. It is open to the public, so
it's
going to
be
come.
Super fun, yes. Super twilighty.
And then Christine, the next day, you're going to be on an author panel.
Yes, I'll be on an author panel, and there's a signing after the panel. If you're in the area, happy to sign whatever. But I'll also have some 30 Flirty Forever Alone copies for anyone who doesn't have one and wants a signed one. So that's exciting. I have to figure out how to send them up there before we get too close to the date. I have had a box of 30 Flirty and Forever Alone in my car that's too heavy to take out since LoveLitCon.
Oh!
I can't carry it.
Ashley Green is going to be there. Jackson Rathbone. Eric Odom. Those three guys. I have never officially met Jackson Rathbone.
Me
so
either.
I am excited about that.
I'm so excited to finally meet Jasper. We have to do a Jasper picture with Jasper. Anyway, it's super fun. I'm sure they're going to do a panel. Mm-hmm. So, like, check the schedule if you are thinking about going. Stuff is ticketed, but there is a lot of stuff that is free. And it's a great time. And there's so much to see in that area that's so beautiful. So
we're very excited.
It's La Push, baby. Yeah, we have to start, like, getting our shit together for that. It's gonna
come up so fast.
We need to buy flights. We have not.
We're gonna buy flights. We gotta coordinate.
All right. Christopher Nolan is now the third highest grossing director in history. Can you guess who the other two are? Did you already see?
Okay, Christopher Nolan.
Christopher Nolan. The only name I knew as a child that was a director.
Steven Spielberg.
Yeah. That's a huge accomplishment. I'm honestly surprised Nolan wasn't already there, though, because he's like the third biggest director I know of.
What about like Ridley Scott?
I mean, Ridley Scott is huge, but I don't think his hits have been as huge as like Titanic and Avatar and like The Dark Knight.
James Cameron.
James Cameron, Nolan, and Spielberg are up there now as the top three highest grossing directors of all time.
Okay.
Yeah. Frank asks, will Christine be dressed as Edward the entire time? You know, I'm bringing my Edward coat so that I'll be dressed as Edward at least part of the time.
I really want Christine to go full Edward. I want the wig. We'll do a layer of spray glitter and then a layer of like the chunkier glitter, like on your high points.
Oh, okay. I'm down for it to be sparkly.
Hey!
I just don't want to wear the wig.
No, you have to wear the wig.
We can bring it and put it on temporarily, but I want my hair. I'm ponytail Edward.
Oh, my God.
And our last thing that I have in the news is I have a book out called 30, Flirty, and Forever Alone. If you don't know, I'm an author. And I am working on my fifth book currently, but my fourth book came out this year. It's my first adult novel, and it's a rom-com, and it's very close to my heart, and it's available, I think, on Kindle for free still. And it's like, I think $12.99 for the hard copy, if you're interested in a hard copy. It's very reasonably priced, okay? And the link is in the show notes, and it is like 27 Dresses meets How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days meets Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, written by me. I saw another author like writing a Substack about like selling books, and I saw in the comments about how, 'cause they're like an influencer person, and in the comments people were saying that like, well, I'm more interested in you as a person than your books. And that comment just like, that Whoa. Person doesn't know about books. Because if you're interested in her as a person, her as a person is in the books.
Well, obviously this person doesn't like to read, so.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do feel like a lot of people who maybe follow people who make content that also write books have that sentiment where they're like, well, I'm interested in following them, but like I'm not interested in their books because it's XYZ. Yeah.
I would say the same thing as like being a hairstylist. Because, like, I can post the work that I do all the live long day, but it's like I also have to put myself out there as a hairstylist, and you have to see me work, or else it's just boring.
Yeah, I know. But, like, the thing is, like, I don't think they understand that, like, the essence of that person you're following in a much deeper detail is in the soul of that book.
Yes.
And, like, especially my books, like, the comedy that you're following me for is... all is the book. It's literally that. Anyway, let's move into what right now.
What have you been reading, Christine?
I have been reading... Oh, Adversary to the Villain came out. And
oh, yeah.
So exciting because I just like binged all those books in January and had so much fun. And I couldn't wait to see where she was going next. And like they become kind of like a comfort read because I really adapted to the narrator, and just having them on during my Christmas break was like one of those, I don't know, like cozy feelings, you know, when you put on your audiobook and you do whatever and you don't know what you're doing anymore because you're listening to the story. And I like fell right back into it. And I can't say, I guess, because it's the fourth book, but like, I like where things are.
I can't believe she's had like her fourth book out. I feel like that timeline is crazy.
They had her on a tight schedule.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah, every August, I think, the last 4 years. But yeah, I've been reading that. I also was reading Steelborn. I don't know why I always want to say any other thing but born when I say the name of that book. As I was moderating for Taylor
LaRue, who is the author, I just like blanked out for a second as I was saying the book name. I was like, Steel Born. I don't know why that just doesn't roll off my tongue. Anyway, it's really good.
Is there another book called Steelheart?
There's definitely is. I think it's actually, who wrote that book? I had it on my shelf for a really long time, and it was by like a male author that writes a lot of stuff. Did anyone read that series, that Steelheart-ish series? If, does anyone know what I'm talking about?
I feel like I know what you're talking about, but I can't like see the book in my mind.
I can see the cover, but I don't remember who wrote it because I never read the book, but I did intend to, like I really wanted to. Anyway... Steelborn. Okay, so Steelborn's really good. I was listening to the audiobook. This came on the back of my weekend where my college roommates were visiting. So I started the book like the night before I moderated, and I got to the 20% mark, which is where I like to get because I have a tendency to accidentally spoil things when I get to the end of the book and I'm like riffing at the front of the room. So I like to just be 20% through. So there's no chance of spoilers. We had such a great time and the book is so good and I can't wait to finish it.
I have been reading this book called Lights Out.
Is that the one about the stalker?
Yes.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Well, I don't know if you remember. What?
It's a huge book.
Huge book. I started reading it with my eyes last year. It's by Navisa Allen, and I started reading with my eyes, and I could not get past the whole I was trying to really suspend my disbelief, because this book starts off with this guy who so we follow this nurse, and she like works in the ER in like a really kind of tough area, and she has a lot to deal with in her life. And so, like, her little escape is watching this guy on TikTok who does these, like, thirst trap videos where he's, like, shirtless and he has, like, this mask on. And she, like, comments on every video, and he never comments to anybody, but he's got, like, a lot of followers. So, like, there's this whole element of, like, social media in it that it's kind of, like, sometimes it's hard for me to read about, like, social media people in a book. Mm-hmm. The plot of the story is that essentially this guy then starts stalking her. Like, he breaks into her house, like, leaves and, like, films a video in her bedroom. And so she doesn't see it until it's live on his account. And he is, like, legitimately stalking her.
What? Yeah. That's like a horror movie.
Yes. And so, but it's not written that way. It's like, she's like, now she's intrigued. And so you're just, the whole time I'm like, girl, you do you. So I was reading with my eyes. I literally couldn't get past that. I could not get over that, because I would never. And so
I would be afraid that man is going to murder me.
So
for sure.
So then the whole plot of the story is like these two, and she actually knows, they know each other in real life, but he tries to like obscure his identity. Yeah.
Okay, wait. So they're friends in real life?
They're not friends at all.
How does she know just, him?
She hooked up with his roommate.
Okay, so they barely know each other.
Barely know each other. But okay. He figured out who it was.
So
and
creepy.
He's like, yeah. And so...
Could you imagine? Like, it's more forgivable for me for Edward of doing anything like this, because he's a vampire. And he's like, that's his nature, is to be weird and creepy. This man is a human man. Is he a human man?
Yes, he's a human man.
And he thinks it's okay.
Yes.
To go into her room and make a video and then post it.
Yes. And then he like left the mask there.
That's like a calling card that you're going to be murdered.
Yes.
Is he a psychopath?
And then, well, then he like puts a camera in her room and she like DMs him and she's like, were you in my house? And then he like gets all flirty with her, and then she realizes that. And then like he starts sending her videos of him in her house.
Oh my God, this is horrifying. I would call the police. Did she ever call the police?
No, she doesn't.
Did she call someone to stay with her?
No!
This is so creepy! What's wrong with her?
I know, and that's why. This is a dark romance, so this is definitely not a Christine book. But, so, I mean, it starts making sense as the book goes along.
I mean, I'm intrigued, too.
But, okay, so I couldn't read it with my eyes. Jacob Morgan does the audiobook, and I fucking love him. And what he makes it funny.
Okay, maybe I'll try the audiobook, because I am intrigued by this story, because I hear so many people talking about it. And also, that premise is so fucking bonkers that I kind of want to see how it plays out. Which is probably why it's so big, because what a bonkers concept. But wow, that's crazy. Yeah, it's like she wants to get murdered. Like she has a murder kink.
Yes, like no, she has like a dark, because she like works. She works with like really, traumatizing cases. Like she really sets up that her job is intense and that.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is her
job?
She
definitely has like a stalker kink. I can say that.
Okay. A stalker kink.
And a masked man kink.
It's so scary. I can't even, like, I'm just imagining it and I'm horrified. Okay. I didn't talk about what Steel. Akro says, well, the bar is low. He's putting an effort. I mean, you're not wrong.
No,
you're
not wrong. There's literally a point where she's like, oh my God, he cares so much about me. He's watching me at work and making sure I'm okay. Like, no man has ever done that for me. And I'm like, babe.
It's giving Bella Swan.
I'm like, come on, girl.
Girl.
And they, anyways, like their relationship happens so quickly, and like literally the first time that he takes off his mask, he's like, you're my girlfriend now. And I'm like, you've known each other for like 2 days.
But they've actually known each other longer because he hooked up with his roommate. Wow, fascinating. I'm just realizing I didn't say anything about what Steelborn was about, but it's about an assassin. It's giving like Throne of Glass meets Vampire Diaries romance wise. Not Vampire Diaries, fuck. I meant Vampire Academy. Dimitri. He's got Dimitri vibes, she's got Selena vibes, and they are hunting down a cure for something in a fantasy world. And there she owes somebody a lot of money, like $100,000 by the end of the month. Ooh. Yeah. And so they make an agreement to, like, he's going to give her XYZ if she helps him hunt down this cure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's like some piratey stuff in it because they have to go find a kraken.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Wait, why? What's with the kraken?
Because the cure is like the blood of a fucking kraken.
Oh,
yeah. And there's like sorcerers. Like he's a sage.
Is it an adult fantasy romance?
Yeah, it's adult.
Or is it YA? Okay.
It's adult. And he's a sage, and he's like we were talking about this at the event, but she's like, yeah, I definitely have like a hot for teacher thing, and like I love an age gap. He's like 500 years old. So sages are immortal in this world, and there are fae in the world. Like there's like a lot, the world is just starting to flesh itself out for me, you know, because I'm at the 20% mark and they're journeying off. But I feel like it's like not a road trip, but you know, like they're on a trip together for this cure. So it's gonna be fun. I saw on the list of tropes, it was like just one saddle.
Oh,
instead of just one bed.
I do like a just one saddle trope.
All right, what are you watching?
I started Cape Fear, which is on Apple TV, and it's starring Amy Adams and Javier Bardem and Patrick Wilson. Cape Fear has been remade. This is, I think, its third time. It was made in the 60s, made in the 90s with Robert De Niro, with Martin Scorsese.
Okay.
and Steven Spielberg, and now they're producing this TV show on Apple TV.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. Yeah, yeah. I started watching this a little while back.
Yeah, I watched the first four episodes last weekend with Taya, and the first episodes I thought was thrilling. It's ten episodes long. I think it's a little draggy. That's my only critique right now. I'm like wanting to get through this like middle and just get to the... Yeah, it should have been six.
Okay.
So I still got a ways to go. So I watched that. I think anything Apple TV is honestly really good. Mm-hmm. I watched three murder documentaries back to back to back. I watched the Idaho Murders one, which I had already been following because my cousins live in Idaho. And that's crazy. Definitely watch that on Netflix. I don't know if you guys know about this murder, but four college students were stabbed to death in the middle of the night. Really fucking sad. Like, it is literally like the most nightmare situation. Don't watch it. This was like 2 years ago.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, it's giving the Ted Bundy murders were kind of...
It's very similar.
Reminiscent.
I then watched Toxic Love Story. That wasn't actually a love... That wasn't a murder doc, but it's also crazy.
Where is this? I've never even heard of this.
Netflix.
Is it a movie? Oh, it's a TV show.
It's like three episodes. Okay. That one's also crazy as well. And then I rewatched... I think we watched Toxic Love Story and The Devil of Seville, and then I watched The Devil of Seville. Seville,
I thought.
In Spain?
The Barber of Seville, we say Seville.
Seville. I watched those all during a hair appointment.
Oh, wow. Like, when did you watch all of this?
I watched the Idaho Murders by myself, alone.
That sounds risky. I saw it on Netflix and I was tempted to watch it. And then I was like, no, Christine, don't put that on. All right. So would you recommend any of these?
Yes. I don't think The Devil of Seville was that great.
Okay. So you wouldn't recommend that.
The Idaho Murders and Toxic Love Story. Toxic Love Story is not about a murder. That one's like crazy people. Okay. I would watch that one.
Okay. All right. Movies. I just have to say, I forgot to talk about this last week or we didn't have time. I watched the Avengers movie for the first time in a while. The first Avengers. Okay. And this is on my favorite movies of all time list. Like, I love it. It's iconic. And this is the first time I watched it. And I noticed that it was old. And it made me kind of sad. And it just like boggled the mind that the CGI is looking outdated and just like the pacing is kind of like feels older and the dialogue feels a little older and the way it's shot. And I mean, all this stuff has evolved in the past. That came out in 2012 and it's
15 years
14
ago.
Years. Yeah, almost yeah. 15. It's crazy. I still love it, but it was just like I was looking. I got taken out of the film a lot by that aspect of it, but also just how young everybody was. Robert Downey Jr. looks so good. Not that he doesn't look good now, but like he was just, he looks so much younger, you know?
Wasn't he like in his 40s?
Yeah, he must've been in his 40s. He looked great. Yeah. Like he just like, you know, he's just gotten older now. It's been like how many, 15 years. But everybody looks like so baby. Scarlett Johansson looks like a baby. Mm-hmm. And I never noticed like they're aging. Cause like it's very subtle. And obviously it goes with the story. Like we cover that long of their lives and it's just, everything's so baby. Like Loki is like, I'm going to conquer Earth. Like he has no nuance to his personality at this point. Really, you know? Mm-hmm. And Thor even isn't grounded like he is now. It was just really interesting. Recommend rewatching just for the fun of the beginning.
Mm-hmm. The Mark Ruffalo looks, I feel like, is the craziest, like, oh, I feel like aging.
Yeah.
He looks really, and like, again, he was like in his 40s, I think, but he looks much younger. And it's just because, like, now these people are like in their 60s.
Yeah.
And that's a big time difference. Anyway. All right. Spider-Man Brand New Day. Or do you want to talk about The Long Walk first?
Oh my God. Yeah. I watched The Long Walk. I hated that movie. Didn't you say you hated that movie?
I didn't hate it. I just knew everything that was going to happen. I thought it was done well, but I just was sad.
Tay and I, like, we were like, that was the most depressing movie I think I've ever, like, just because we knew everything was going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, down to, like, the little twists. I was like, this is going to happen and I'm sad.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't need to watch it. I don't think it's that great.
I think it is a great concept. I think that, like, it's a scary concept. It's basically, yeah, it's a Hunger Games sort of a thing.
Yeah, it's a Hunger Games.
But yeah, it's a Hunger Games better. Before the Hunger Games, though. It's Stephen King, right?
It was his first book.
Yeah, so he, like, had his own Hunger Games, and it's really good. And it's such a simple idea. I think there's beauty in the simplicity of that movie, because we're so attached to everyone, and that's what... That's why it sucks, because, like, you know that everyone's going to die.
Yeah.
And that, I think that's what makes it so upsetting. And, like, you don't want to like it, because it's like, what's the point of me liking all these characters? We know they're all going to die.
Yep.
And then we don't really explore the world past that point, which is why, like, The Hunger Games is a lot better, because the world is fleshed out and all that stuff.
Yeah, because I'm like, what's happening? Why does it look like 1960s?
Yeah. All right. We watched Spider-Man Brand New Day. And what?
And we will talk about our thoughts next week when more people have watched it.
We're going to talk spoilery next week. But we'll put it on hold for now. I'm really excited to talk about it because I have a lot to say. We should do an episode ranking all the Spider-Man movies.
Yeah, so Ron just said that.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said that to you. That's a great idea, Siobhan.
I think so too.
Do you want to make that list next episode then?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about Spider-Man. I want to talk about Spider-Man. I think that's going to wrap up then what right now. We're going to do Spider-Man episode next week. So go see Spider-Man Brand New Day.
Yeah.
Or else you'll have to, like, stop the podcast so you don't get spoiled. But I think we're probably only going to have time for one question then. We're about to move into our main discussion. And today we are taking, I think, just one question from our patrons, but we have others. So we will be doing, like, another Dear Christine and Natasha episode in the future, and we'll save them for that.
I feel like there's the one from one of our girls we could just answer.
It's like an really easy quick one?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But some of them are big. And, like, big questions we want to give time to, and we don't have much time today. If you want to become a patron and support the show that way, we would love that, because our show doesn't have sponsors. Our show stays on the air because of listeners and viewers like you. So we're so grateful for you. We really appreciate you being here. Thank you. And if you want to join the community, we have an extra show at the end of every episode called Fangirl Tea Time. So when you become a patron, you have so many episodes of Tea Time to catch up on. And trust me, they're fun. They're story times. They're funny. They're anecdotes about the shit going on in our lives. And so when you become a Team Jacob member, you get all the way back to episode 120. And all of those episodes have a timestamp for tea time if you want to just listen to the tea time. So that's a hoot when you become a patron. You also get the show ad-free. You also get to come to discussions and talk in the chat and be a part of the conversation. And then we have two other tiers. And you can check out all that on patreon.com/thoseforkingfangirls. We're also on YouTube. If you want to support us in other ways, free ways exist, and we appreciate that as well. Subscribing to us on YouTube, if you like to watch the show, is super helpful, and it's free. You just click that subscribe button, and you can click the notification button to make sure you're notified when our new episodes go up. If you like to listen to the show and you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Pocket Casts, it's really easy to click follow there, and that's free as well, and we really appreciate that.
Yeah, then we know you can rate us on Spotify.
Yes.
And leave a review on Apple Podcasts.
If you like the show, we'd greatly appreciate that you taking a second to rate the show. It's really easy on Spotify. You just like click 5 stars. And on Apple Podcasts, it's easy and you don't have to like write an essay if you don't feel compelled to. You can just rate the show, or you can write a little quick review. And word of mouth is really important. If you know anybody that might like the show, talking about the show is so helpful to us because people trust people. And word of mouth is so important. Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to roll into our main discussion. If you're a patron, we're going right on in. If not, we'll be right back after these messages. And we're back. And we're kicking this off with a big question from one of our patrons, Natasha. Do you want to read the beginning of it?
Okay. So our patron kind of gives a little context behind her question. She goes, I grew up with an older sister and shared a room with her until I was about 21 years old. She was controlling, manipulative at times, and overall I felt like I had no autonomy over things. Obviously, siblings fight, but the constant negativity and lack of space really took a toll on me. Since moving out, my sister has done a lot of work on herself. She's gone to therapy and has a great career going. She's changed in a lot of ways, and I truly believe she loves me and is trying to have a better relationship.
Okay. The issue now is with me. There are still small moments where old patterns come up. And even though they aren't nearly as bad as they used to be, I find myself pulling away. I know she loves me, but I felt like part of me is still reacting to the person she used to be, even when I know she's being nice and trying to do better. I feel awful about it. We've also discussed how I feel, and she's promised she's changed, but I still get anxious about certain things sometimes. So my question is, how do you let go of resentment towards someone who has genuinely changed? And how do you stop seeing someone through the lens of who they used to be and give them a chance to be who they are now? How do you rebuild a sibling relationship when the past still hurts? Okay. So I'd love any advice you can give. All right. So, I mean, this is, sibling relationships are hard. And I do feel like it's a lot on your sister in some ways to show and not tell that she's changed. Mm-hmm. For you to trust that she actually has. And that just takes time. And for you, I think kind of just reframing when you do get like activated by some sort of memory or feeling of what used to be like, to maybe take a step away, go to the bathroom, and like if you need to like get out of the room. Because I think like space is important for you to like reframe and be like, no, it's not happening right now. I think you just have to talk to yourself. I think that's the only way to do it, is to keep reframing until you actually can sit with it without being activated by it. You know what I mean? I think it takes time and just like intention every time.
Yeah, that's really true. I would like also echo Christine that a lot of this is just timing. Mm-hmm. It's also growing and getting older and growing up and having like adult experiences. A lot of these things obviously happened when you were young children and young adults, and people change very rapidly between the ages of 18 and 25.
But I know that like what she's saying, like when you kind of doubt that what is happening is real, and that they're putting up a facade. And then they'll just kind of like tear it down when they get upset or whatever it is that happens, you know, when the emotions are heightened. And I do think it like takes time to get past that. And I think the only thing you can do is recognize it instead of letting it play out. Like instead of letting yourself get upset, I think stepping out of the room and like going to the bathroom and taking a deep breath and like coming back out if you need to is a great way to like recenter yourself. Because if you get upset in front of them and they haven't actually done something, it just brings up even more stuff. And you end up like having that same conversation again and again. So I think it's like really internal to like get past that aspect of it. But also like if she keeps proving herself that she has actually changed, it'll get easier and easier to believe her.
Yeah, and I feel like the whole like resentment portion of this is so hard because like resentment builds when there is no communication. Mm-hmm. And or resentment builds when there has been communication and nothing has changed. Mm-hmm. And so like believing when things do change, it's like you're just suspending like when's the next shoe gonna drop.
Yeah. And it's really hard when you have someone that you have tried to believe over and over again in your life and they have just proved you like wrong. So you feel stupid. I feel like if that has happened before with someone else, it's harder going into the next person that you try to believe has actually changed. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just like it takes a lot of mental work and on both parts. So hopefully, and I think it's really healthy that you've discussed this already. And so it's not like she doesn't know that you're feeling this way. Mm-hmm. And it's just going to take time and patience with yourself. and with your sister, but I think it's definitely with time you can get past it and move forward. It's just a process, but I think sibling relationships are so beautiful, and there is such a capacity to forgive and move forward, because no one, as much as you like to believe that like other people, you know you better than your sibling, no one was there through your like formative years like they were.
Yeah.
And they understand them in a really deep way.
Yeah. I'm sure Christine, you experienced it too, but like watching my mom kind of navigate, like I think her relationship with her sister. See, I don't have a sister, so I don't. That type of dynamic is very different than what my brother and I have. And like watching, they were 7 years apart and there was so much animosity between them. And like, they would go in waves. They would go in waves of like my mom would not talk to my aunt. My aunt would not talk to my mom, or like they would just be really upset at each other. And there was just not a lot of, and like that was a roller coaster for me and my brother, who loved everyone being together and loved, you know, being together with everyone. So we watched that happen and we said like, well, we're never going to let that happen to us. Mm-hmm. And like, and also with my cousins too, who are basically like my siblings as well, we're like, we don't want whatever's happening.
Yeah, within, we don't want that with us.
Within that is not going to happen with us. Like, it stops there. Like, we're not letting that generation, like, infiltrate our generation. And it is so true. Siobhan said that, I do think sibling relationships are such a lifelong benefit. Like, they're worth putting the work into to save them. And that's so true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the resentment aspect, like, if both parties are truly working to be better, it's another thing you have to like practice. I feel like as I've gotten older, it's been easier and easier to like let things go, because I don't want, even if it is something that I feel like they dropped the ball on big time, I don't want to end up like drifting apart because of something stupid that they did and they know they did wrong. Or even if they don't know that they did it wrong, if it's not like a big, huge thing, I'm going to forgive them if they're family.
Yeah.
Because I know everyone fucks up and I love them. Unless it's like something huge, you know, like it depends on what it is. But if it's something silly and little, because I've seen so many relationships fall apart because of something so dumb.
Yep.
And like maybe that person never apologized because they didn't realize that it was such a big deal to the other person, but it was still a little thing. Like, I don't want to ever let that get in the way of like a relationship with a family member.
Yeah. We have two really quick questions. I feel like we should just leave off on like a nicer note. Mm-hmm. Not that that question wasn't nice, but it was an important question. It's just a little question. Heavy.
Yeah.
Okay, another question. Christine, how are the next two books coming along? What can you tell us about them? And Natasha, did you start writing yours yet?
You go first.
I have started writing mine. And there's a lot of brain space going on for that one. I've not gotten too far, but I feel good about it. And I feel good that I started it and that I have a game plan. It's just like little by little. I just keep like adding to it when I like get the spark to write.
Yes, very exciting. Do you know how many words you have?
I think I'm closing in on like 10K.
Nice.
Yeah, so just in the beginning still.
Yeah, but it's a big landmark to hit. That's mm-hmm. awesome. I am, well, next two books. I'm working on See You at Twilight right now. And that will be, I'll hand that in at end of August. And it's going well. Like, this is my favorite draft so far. Because this has been like a big undertaking, this book, because I've created lore. And like the lore really complicated things because of how deep it has to run, but like how unpresent it has to be. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's weirdly like I had to create this whole series in a way, but also like it's not the series. It's about, but like I wrote a lot of stuff and now I'm like trying to decide how much of that stuff to include, where to include it. Like, cause when we read Fangirl, I know a lot of us skipped. I didn't skip the Simon Snow parts, but like a lot of people did. And my books are naturally long. And some of the story like kind of is included in like the actual story. Like they talk about things that happen in the books. Mm-hmm. And like some of them are references to other books that we've read, you know, it was just a weird balance. So it was really hard because of the way it evolved. And it started as like me thinking about Twilight and then it evolved into its own thing. It's been a process like wheedling it in. And because of the, like the personal aspects that I kind of wove through it, unraveling that and weaving it in a way that arcs the way I want it to arc was also like, just, you know, I had to, it's a lot of balancing of different things happening and storylines. So that book's going, and I did have like the seed of an idea. Oh, for book 7, I guess I have to write book 6. Oh, those are the next two books, book 6. I was supposed to start book 6 today. It has on my calendar popped up. Oh. Like start book 6. But that was when I thought that I was going to be done with See You at Twilight by now. But alas, we are still working on it. So I will be starting book 6 in September.
Last fun questions.
Okay.
What is the color you most associate for yourself?
Ooh.
Christine, she said, for Christine, I see banana yellow. For Natasha, I see a deep eggplant purple.
I do too. I was just going to say yellow and purple.
I feel like purple is my color.
Yeah, yellow is mine.
Yeah.
It's just like, why did I make that bookmark that I made from Coach blue? That was so weird.
Is green still your favorite color?
I do like green, but it's changed since I got a green couch and I didn't love it.
And you don't love that couch?
No, I'd rather it be blue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I miss my blue couch.
Yeah, it was very uncomfortable, though.
It's uncomfortable, but I love the color so much. Yeah. I miss that color being in this room. Yeah. But yeah, I love like orange, too, now. Like, I love a bright, like, yellowy orange.
Yellowy orange.
Like, I like orange, and I like yellow.
Orange.
What do you say? What's wrong?
Yeah, you're saying it very orange. New Jersey. Orange.
I'm from New Jersey. What do you want from me?
I know. It's so New Jersey.
I still don't even orange. Know what, you, what I don't hear what you're saying different.
It's orange.
Orange.
Orange. You're saying it with a like a hard R. It's almost like an A. Orange.
That's how we say orange where I'm from.
Yes, obviously purple, but lavender is has always been my favorite color, lavender and yellow.
Nice. Yeah. Yes. It's hard to pick a favorite color, like, because I just feel like I have different favorites for like what I'm wearing, from what I see, for what I want in the room. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I have a favorite for each section.
Yeah. Yeah, the different, I know, it's like, honestly, purple is my favorite color, and I'm just going, I should just lean into that. And lean I did. My entire... Purple.
Yeah, you did.
I live in a purple, like, an oasis. We call it the Enchanted Chambers. That's my salon. It is so purple in
I've
there.
I've never heard you call it the Enchanted Chambers. Well, that sounds like an allegory for a vagina.
Don't say that.
The Enchanted Chambers.
I feel like I'm in like a Taylor Swift music video in my salon.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that. Nice.
I would like to paint my apartment, even though I've lived here for now 7 years. I should paint this wall yellow. I feel like I'm so bored of this color in here.
Can you stop? But I like the color of all the accents in there are yellow.
And that's true, color. But I want it to be more yellow.
Like, yellow's my favorite color for stuff, but not for wearing. Like, I don't love yellow on me. It has to be the right yellow or else I look weird. Because my skin will be, like, washed out depending on the yellow.
That's funny because purple is my favorite color to wear.
I mean, like, I can wear some purples and some purples wash me out. Like, I could really rock
you
with
have
the blue.
To wear a cool tone. You have to wear cool tone.
Blues are pretty good. Pretty safe. And, like, a gray looks
well,
really
maybe
nice.
Not cool tone, more like a warm tone. I can never tell with you.
Like, again, they go either way. It just has to be the right shade.
And I feel like you're definitely more warm.
I am. My face is warm tones. But, like, I just mean with clothes. I don't know that there's, like...
There's a cool tone. There's a cool tone and warm tone and a neutral of every color.
I know. I just don't know that there's, like, a color that I'm like, this is my color, you know? I look great in gray.
There's also a warm tone gray and a cool tone gray.
I know, but I'm usually like solid. Like I'll get that gray color if I'm weary of the other colors.
Oh my god. Yeah. Natalie pointed out when I was like Raven at Comic-Con and I had that purple wig on, my eyes were like bright in that. And she's nice. Like, you just need to wear purple all the time. And I'm like, yeah.
I like other colors though too. All right. Well, that is going to wrap up our main show today. Thank you so much for joining us. We are going to record Tea Time. We've got lots of stories. We got some from Comic-Con that we forgot. It's going to be a fun time. So if you're not a patron already and you're interested in listening to those, definitely go hit up the Patreon. The link is in the show notes. We'd love to have you over there. And we make new episodes every single Friday. You could follow the podcast on Instagram at Those Forking Fangirls. We'd love if you followed there because that's where you first hear about things that are going on with the show. Mm-hmm. And our show is edited by Shannon Burton. Our music is by Cole Jenkins with vocals by Heather Traska. My name's Christine.
I'm Natasha.
And we will see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.